Well, good morning, family. Good to see all of you here this morning. Going to welcome our visitors as well. If you've not had a chance to fill out one of those cards that's on the back of the chair in front of you, really would appreciate if you would do that and stick around a little bit so we can get to know you a little better. A couple of announcements that we need to go through this morning before we get into the lesson. Want to remind everyone that today is the fifth Sunday, if you haven't picked up on that already, since I think it's been said at least six times through the course of our worship service this morning. Stick around, especially if you're visiting with us. Stick around, eat with us. Let's have a good time in fellowship, having that group meal over in the fellowship hall, and then immediately following that, we'll just come back into the auditorium for a combined life group this week. Tuesday is a busy day. We've got food pantry in the morning. If you're interested in coming and helping out with that, I know they won't say no to that. That's at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then also, just as a reminder to our elders, deacons, and coordinators, that Tuesday night is our study, first Tuesday of the month study for the elders, deacons, and coordinators. 39ers will meet on Wednesday at 10:30. Turkey is going to be provided. I believe Danny Lambert is smoking the turkeys. Yeah, for that. But Ina's asking that you bring side dishes and dessert for the 39ers meeting this month, or next month, excuse me. Also, that same Wednesday, after evening Bible class, prayer group will meet in the fellowship hall immediately following Bible class that evening. Then Friday, that's this week. Sonny, did you realize that was this week? Okay. That's this week. Cookout at our house, Friday. If you are wanting to attend, I would like for you to please RSVP to me no later than Wednesday night so that I can get to the store on Thursday and buy all the meat that everybody is going to want when you come to the house for a cookout on that. I will provide the meat. You provide the buns and the chairs. If you want to bring a side, let Sunny know what you're bringing. I don't think she really has an opinion one way or the other on sides. I think she's happy to know that there will be sides, and so if you just tell her you're bringing that, she'll be glad to know that. Then this Saturday is Rise Up Men's Bible Study, first Saturday of the month at 7 a.m. for breakfast and Bible study. Want to encourage all men 18 and older to be here for that. And then we're getting into, I know it's early, but we got to talk about it because there's a sign-up sheet in the back for the Boulevard Christmas Gumbo Party. That's going to be happening on December 3rd here at the building. Come on out for a fun Louisiana-style Christmas party. I can't wait. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. Check it out. There's need for gumbo and different things. If you've got any questions, talk to Miss Karen. She's one working the plan on that. And there are always opportunities for service. I know we talk about that a lot. In the back, specifically, we're going to talk about this morning the transportation needs. Talking with Bobby Valentine, sounds like we've got the bus drivers, got a good handle on bus drivers. What Bobby is really wanting to know is who's willing to use their personal vehicle to pick up folks that can't drive themselves to either our worship or our Bible classes. Put your name on the list. Talk to Bobby. See what the needs are. He'll be able to communicate that a whole lot better than I will be able to this morning. But know that he's on the lookout for folks for those transportation needs. And that's all we've got going on this week. It's a busy week, but that's okay because we can be busy and work together, and it doesn't feel like busy work, but it just feels like a light little bit of fun and fellowship through all of that. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. It's where we're going to start out this morning. And this is going to be a two-part lesson as we've been going through the book of Galatians. Now we've gotten to a point, and I'll talk about this more in a minute, where we need to start figuring out what Paul is saying and what the responsibility is for those who stand on the promise of what God has promised to us through Jesus and as we operate by faith. But before we do this, I want to define a word. When I say the word discretion, you have an idea that comes to mind. I am absolutely sure of it. You know people who are discreet, and you know people who are not discreet. Right? But discretion really just means that an individual has the freedom to decide what should be done in a particular circumstance. That's it. Right? It's kind of like a story I came across a little while ago about a man who was accused of leaving a restaurant without paying his bill. Okay? He ran out and he's arrested a short time later on a trespassing charge by the police department that actually catch him. Well, according to the police report, an employee at the Mexican restaurant where he had eaten and had stiffed him and not paid the bill, called the police to report the theft. Well, when the officers responded, they learned that this individual was seen crossing the street and going toward this vacant building on the other side of the street after leaving the restaurant. So what they did is they went over to the vacant building. They check in on it, and they find an open door in the back of the building. An officer goes into the building. The lights are out. There's no power in any of it. He can't see anything. So what he decides to do is yell, "Marco!" The man's name obviously was not Marco, okay? But the detective said that he was just trying to inject some humor into the situation. I don't think he was expecting the guy who was hanging out in the vacant building to say, "Polo!" He was arrested shortly after. And there are times in our lives, and I know you know this to be true, there are times in our lives when we expect a person to not have any discretion, right? Like your kids. How many of us expect discretion from our kids? To know when is proper and what to say in any given situation, right? And if you doubt that a child has discretion, or you maybe even you believe that a child has discretion, I invite you to spend 10 minutes with Fallon. I love that girl. I love her to death. But I'm going to tell you right now, what comes into Fallon's mind comes out of Fallon's mouth. And it's quite hilarious sometimes, you know. But we don't expect children to have a lot of discretion in all of those things. And I think maybe on the simple things, they probably do all right. But when the situation gets more difficult, there's a little bit more trouble that comes along with it. But understand that Paul has spent what we would think of as three chapters, okay? Three chapters proving that believers, regardless of ethnicity, sex, social status, are heirs according to the promise of God. And then he's going to move into, in chapter 4, answering the most logical question that would come up after this, okay? That since all believers, past and present, are reckoned as righteous in their faith, according to chapter 3 and verse 6, and since their inheritance is based on the promise, not on lawful performance, that's chapter 3 and verse 18, why weren't believers given the inheritance from the beginning? That is the most logical question, isn't it? When you look at the line of argument that he's presenting, that would be what I would ask him. Well, okay, why the law then? Why would God give the law if this whole system was set up to be based off of his faith and his promise? And that's where we get into the text. So join with me as we look at chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Okay, so notice what Paul is saying here. This is really not a new question. Why didn't God send Jesus immediately following the fall of man in the garden and just do away with all of this mess that we have in the Old Testament and all of the challenges that Israel had to face? Why would God leave man under the care of the law this whole time? That doesn't seem fair. Especially if he knew what the outcome was going to be and where he was leading us to. And the simplest answer, and I think I've even said this in our Bible classes, the simplest answer through all of this is that simply mankind was not ready for God's plan to be implemented in the way that he wanted it implemented. You know, you think back to what Paul is talking about here, and it's kind of like that movie, The Lion King. You guys have seen The Lion King, right? Disney, you know, it's based off a Shakespearean play. But the whole concept of the Lion King in this one section where Mufasa, who is the king, he brings Simba, who is the guy who can't wait to be king, okay, takes him up on this hill, shows him the entire kingdom, and he says to Simba, look, Everything the light touches is going to be your kingdom. And Simba is blown away by this, right? He's like, whoa, right? And then he says, then Mufasa says, a king's time as ruler rises and falls like the sun. One day, Simba, the sun will set on my time and will rise on you as the new king. Simba says, all of this is going to be mine? Mufasa's reply, everything the light touches. Why didn't Mufasa give the kingdom to Simba right then? You ever stop to think about that? I mean, obviously, he's ready to be king. He even sang a song about it. Why didn't Mufasa say to Simba, and it's all yours right now? Why did Mufasa have Zazu, who was the manager over Simba? Why did Zazu follow Simba around everywhere that he went, operating as this, as Paul would say, guardian or manager for Simba through all of this? Because it obviously, based on the song, I Just Can't Wait to Be King, Simba's not ready to receive that kingdom. Just like mankind was not ready to have these things come to pass that God had purposed from the garden. And so God, as a prudent father, okay, sets this system up, and he operates in this way with mankind. He looks at his children, who, by the way, are still children, and knows that time and education are necessary. So what he does is he places a guardian over them, a manager over them that's going to teach them, that it's going to manage their affairs, it's going to prepare them to take possession of the inheritance when the time is right. And who gets to determine when that time is right? God does. He is the one that dictates all of these things that are going on. So Paul's making the argument here. He says, therefore, so as sons now, we had lived under this guardian, under this manager of the law. And we talked about this last week, that manager, that guardian was to be a tutor to us that leads us to Christ as we're being educated through the course of time about who Jesus is. So now that we are no longer under that guardian and manager, now that we have come into our inheritance, we are no longer slaves through all of this. And we're no longer treated like slaves as we live according to this faith system that we're now in. We are now, in a very legal and very spiritual sense, sons of God. And as sons, as heirs, God now believes that we have the discretion and wisdom necessary to move forward without our guardian. You guys remember when you moved out of your house for the first time? Like I know some of you moved out of your house like 3 or 4 times, but the first time. When now, and your parents are looking at you and going, go conquer the world. I have faith and confidence that you can live life accordingly and be proper and be an active member of society without me being your guardian and manager. Go. How many of you were excited when that happened? Right? And you're like, yes, I can actually live according to the way that my parents have raised me without my parents telling me I'm doing it wrong. And I've learned all of these things, and I can be who they're calling me to be in this life. I don't have to be managed anymore. I'm now no longer dependent upon that guardian. I'm no longer dependent upon that manager. Now I'm just dependent upon, in Paul's argument, the Father who adopted me. And it's through our knowledge of how the relationship has changed that we gain confidence in our lives as sons. Think about this. Look at what he says there in verse 6. Because you are sons. You are sons. And because of this, God sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts. And it cries out, Abba. And I love that word. This isn't some Swedish pop band. You guys know what Abba, what's meant by the word Abba? It's a fun little word, okay? How many of us remember when our kids first started talking? right? You remember that, how exciting that was? And you and your wife are like, he's going to say dad first. He's going to say mama first. Okay? This is basically a baby word. Abba. It's what they would call their fathers. Abba. It's a child's word that talks about full reliance on the adult. It gives God the same feeling that we get as parents or even as grandparents when we hear that child say, Papa, Dada. It's intimate. It's relational. It proves our sonship. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I know a lot of young men, but only one calls me dad. And the Spirit of Jesus sits within our hearts and cries out, Abba, Father. And he hears us as sons when that cry goes out. He doesn't hear us as slaves. He hears us as his children. Proving our adoption, proving our inheritance through that. It is a confession of what God has accomplished for us through Christ. And not just for us, for all time. Nothing makes a preacher more nervous when the guy gets up to do the communion comments and goes to the same book of the Bible that he had the scripture reading from. But in Hebrews chapter 10, and that was why we went to Hebrews chapter 10, because were you paying attention not just to what Robin was saying this morning, but to the verses prior, in verses 1 through 10 of what was going on in our reading? This is the point, guys. Jesus' sacrifice was good. It wasn't just good. It was good for all. Once. It was good enough to make me a son. It was good enough to make you a son. It was good enough to bring me out of slavery. It was good enough to bring you out of slavery. It was good enough to where the point now I can say, Abba, Father. And the minute that I am claimed as a son brings certain responsibilities. I'll be up front with you. I don't expect Jay Will to operate and live in the same way as I expect Justice to. You know why? Because little Jay Will's not my boy. I guarantee you, Big J Will has some expectations for him. And they're probably not the same as the expectations as he has for Justice. But a father places those expectations on their son. And those who understand that, and those who have been adopted and sealed and brought into the inheritance, understand what they have, and they do, and they live by the faith that is founded in God's promise to them. That Christ's sacrifice is sufficient. God didn't leave mankind out in the cold all those years before Christ. What he did was set it up where we would learn about Christ so that when the time was right, when everything fell into place, that when he says in Galatians 4, when the fullness of the time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law that was your guardian and manager and tutor. He did this so that we would not act like slaves anymore. And that's our part in this, is acting like a son. And we'll deal with this more, Lord willing, next week. But for today, I want us to be encouraged by this. Do we believe? Do we have the faith, guys, that God has deemed us ready to operate and live without a guardian or manager? That he has the faith in us that we can live and operate according to our faith in the promises that he's made to be the sons that he's called us to be? We're ready. You got to believe it. And you got to act on that belief. It can't just be some mental assent where you just say, okay, yeah, I believe it, and do nothing with it. Because when you believe you're a son, you act like a son. And here's the deal. If you believe you're a slave, you'll act like a slave. Jesus didn't die so that we could stay slaves. Jesus died so we could be sons and daughters. I see some of the ladies going, you gonna say it? Who's ready to live like a son? To let the Spirit of Christ that's dwelling within our hearts to cry out, Abba, I lay claim to the inheritance. I confess that you are my Father. And I'm ready to live as a son for you. Because here's the deal, guys. You're going to live as one or the other. You're either living as a slave or you're living as a son. There's no in between on that. And God sent his son to die so that we could live as sons. Who's ready to take the step and live as a son from this point moving forward? Who's ready to lay their claim and stand on the promise of God that he sent his son to rescue and redeem us from an evil and perverse generation, to rescue and redeem us from our sins, and that in knowing that, adopting us as his children, making us heirs according to his promise. I want that, man. I've lived too long as a slave and not long enough as a son. Let's live as sons of God together. If you're struggling with that, if you find yourself still trying to go back into these moments of slavery and slipping into that slave mindset, as we stand and sing the song that Brian has selected, this is an opportunity for you to shed off that slavery and embrace the sonship that's available. To cry out to your Abba, to cry out to your Father, and make the confession that your reliance in him is all that is needed in this world. And he will carry you through. Amen. Now, whether that be your first time confession and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins or your 500th confession, it doesn't matter. Now's the time if you're struggling with it. If we can help you in any way, if you need the prayers of the body, the eldership, whatever it is, it's time. Let's stand and sing.